Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today, I'm talking to Tapio, the CEO of Carbonate. Carbonate provides a CO2 utilization and storage technology for the concrete industry. We learn more about how the tech works in practice in just a second. Welcome, Tapio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. My first question to my guests is always, who are you? So tell me a bit about your background. Who are you as a person?
Yes. So my name is Tapio Vehmas, and I'm originally from a small town in southern Finland. And my life has always been full with concrete. So my relatives have been working in concrete industry, and I started my working career also in concrete industry. So I started in a precast plant in that little town, which was very fortunate for me because I got to do a lot of different things related to concrete. So I was able to cast some elements. I drive a concrete truck, and then I run a precast plant at the final years. But I also studied analytical chemistry during those years. So I was partly working for concrete, and then I did my studies in the university. And after graduating, I got to work in VTT, Technical Research Center of Finland, where I spent 15 years of my career so far. And the main topic was concrete-related research. And as I had the analytical chemistry background, it was mainly chemistry-related stuff and concrete. And for a year now, I have been running Carbonate, the startup that's been out from VTT. As a person, I'm more or less like very average person. I have a wife and two kids and a car. Like, so there's nothing fancy about myself in that way.
Well, it doesn't have to be, right? I think that's sort of a very nice way of phrasing that, because I think that makes your story and sort of your progress a lot more relatable, because I'd say most of us are average in that sense. So I think that's a very good thing to be. You just mentioned Carbonate. So maybe in a few sentences, what is it that you as a company do? What's the idea behind the company?
Yeah, so Carbonate provides carbon dioxide reuse and storage technology for industrial use. Our main field is in precast concrete, where we have seen that we can replace some of the binders with CO2. So it provides a lot of cost benefits and also environmental benefits for the process itself. But as there is this storage thing, is that CO2 turns into minerals in the process, we can at the same time store large quantities of CO2 in the process. And that is like the core business of Carbonate. So we have developed a technology that we will provide for the client, but also all the other services that they need to utilize the efficient carbonation technology.
Right. So basically, in a nutshell, it's storing the carbon inside the concrete and therefore making the whole process less carbon intensive. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But you can also reduce your cement use when you utilize CO2 in your process. So this is like this reuse and storage. They are both combined in this technology.
Gotcha. And maybe if you can say a few sentences about how the tech then actually works, or what's sort of the secret sauce behind your approach?
Yeah, so the basic stuff is the carbonization that takes place. It's a chemical process where CO2 precipitates as different minerals. What is the thing that we do is that we can make that highly efficient in the conditions that you scale up, that you can scale up in industrial volumes. Mm-hmm. And that is like the core knowledge that we have. So we are very good to create carbonation in different environments.
Right. I've seen that you already have first customers or sort of first traction. So maybe you could talk a bit about how far you've come, because you described your journey from being research led, where you spent 15 years in the academic background. Now, obviously, it's a spin out. So maybe you can enlighten the listeners a bit on how far you've come from sort of turning that idea into an actual viable business?
Yeah, so when we spin out from VTT, we had good industrial partners where we could start to build up our first industrial care process. So we did that, and this our first pilot factory is situated in Hollola, that is near Lahti, about 100 kilometers from Helsinki, up north. And this is the place where we have been now running the industrial care pilot trials with our technology. We have been doing those for half a year, and now we are moving to the constant production with these units. So our goal is that on the week 11, we will launch the first commercially available carbonate products. Yeah, we are on the industrial scale factory at this moment, but we are providing the technology, and the precast manufacturers are the ones who sold the products themselves.
Right, and that would have been my next question. So the way it works is that you don't have to build any plant yourself, but sort of the tech will always sit with the concrete manufacturers.
Yes. So we have this modular design that we bring on the factory, and then we integrated that one in the precast concrete producers process. This is like our core thing that we are doing.
Gotcha.
So we are not the manufacturer of the precast concrete.
Yeah. Gotcha. And just sort of from an operational point of view, is that easy for the precast manufacturers to do, or sort of what's their stance on it? Because I guess a number of, or almost all concrete producers are looking for a way to reduce their emissions and become less carbon intensive. So I guess your solution comes at the right time for them. And at the same time, I guess the processes are already very efficient. So sort of what's their take on integrating new tech? Are they very interested? Are they resistant? What's your view on that?
I think they are very interested because we have seen that the green transition is coming on concrete. The thing is that where we are now is that we calculate what is just the investment that they have to make. And that is like the thing that we should be able to calculate the price of the green concrete. And we can't do that at this moment because there are no existing market for it. So it's very difficult to say how things will look in a couple of years. So our focus is that we can provide this green concrete, but it is combined with the huge economical benefits that our process can bring. So those economical benefits are the things that could drive the investment in the precast components. And the operation of this whole unit is made very easily. So we have, this is fully automated more or less. So there is no extra work needed in the batching plant level or when our process is used. That has been one of our main criteria when we design the whole process, is that the amount of workers in a factory, their workload should not increase when they utilize our technology. This should be make them life more easy, not difficult, more difficult.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense in terms of making the lives of the concrete producers easy and help them to meet their decarbonization targets instead of putting an additional burden on them. And you mentioned that obviously the first industrial scale production is now coming up in a few weeks' time. I would assume that's also going to be in Finland. So what are your plans for the future?
Yes, so now we have the first operating factory in place. So the next thing is that we build up the commercial modules. It is now in the design process, and we should be able to provide a commercial deliveries of our technology at the end of quarter one. So now we are looking for first partners in Europe to take our technology, and then we start to expand our company at that. So we have been now, for the last half year, we have been doing recruitments, and we are getting ready for the commercialization, commercial phase of our company.
Gotcha. And I would assume that's also sort of from Finland, having proven and having scaled the tech to industrial size, now will make your lives a lot easier with the existing or with the concrete manufacturers.
Yeah, so I think the whole thing is that we start from Finland because we have a lot of good contacts here. And then it's about probably about Scandinavia and Germany. So those are the main market areas for us at this moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There is a saying in Finland that you need to get more flesh on the bones. I'm not sure. Is that also used in the States? But like that, what we are now doing. So we want to have the factory that is fully running and we can provide a solid calculations how the investment will work on the precast levels. So that is like my marketing plan for this technology.
You know, that makes a whole lot of sense. And I guess it's always easier also from a communications perspective that you can look at proven cases and that you can show, look, it's working. You know, the customer is happy, as you mentioned before, no additional hurdles in setting it up. So no additional staff, very easy to integrate and so on. Once you're able to prove that in an industrial and commercial setting, that obviously helps a whole lot to scale marketing and sales activities.
Yeah, so and I want that this technology becomes an industry standard at some point. So they don't even have to think that are they going to invest in this technology or not. This should be like something that they must have.
Almost like a no-brainer that, you know, when you design the... Well, that is a good ambition. I like that. What would you say were some of the challenges that you had to overcome to get to this stage of where you are right now? Obviously, spinning out a technology process from university comes with its own challenges. So maybe you can shine a bit of light on that.
Yeah, so I have been working for scientists and working as a scientist, it's like a disappointment after disappointment. So I have kind of developed the mentality that I don't really feel these as an obstacle. They are just something that makes the route a little more complicated. So in that respect, we did not have any great challenges because there was a lot of challenges. But none of them was really something that was bigger than other ones. It took us 2 years to spin out, which is quite a long time. I think it was mainly related to the fact that we were dealing with hardware in very conservative industry. And then it was run by a scientist. So this is not something that you can build an optimal startup in the beginning. So there was a lot of learning that I had to do, like how to be a startup entrepreneur and how to discuss with investors and how to make things work as a startup company.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, that your perspective was really interesting to say, look, as a scientist, you're used to failing experiments and things not working out the way you want to. So you're, in a way, very much prepared to be resilient and prepared for that start of life, which is exactly that, right? Things don't work out the first time around. You try them as you want them to. So I think that's a very interesting perspective. I haven't heard it that clearly before, I think. So that's a really good one to take away, to say, look, coming from academia actually prepared me very much for spinning out a company, running a startup, because that's exactly what I've been doing, just in a different setting.
Yeah, so thinking that in that respect, it's a good background. So you have used that things don't go as you plan.
I mean, was there anything that surprised you when you made that switch from academia to being a startup entrepreneur?
I think the biggest surprise for me was that there was no, it did not feel, how you say, the biggest surprise was that there was no big surprises. So
right, I because was it felt so natural almost for you.
Yeah, because I worked in a company that has over 2,000 employees, and all of a sudden we had 2 employees. But still, I did not feel any uncomfortable to work in that kind of company. I was doing the same stuff that I was doing in VTT, Okay, my office changed, my phone changed, my computer changed, but my mental, how I think about things, that did not really change that much. So yeah, I feel very comfortable from the very first days to work for the startup. And that was a surprise for me.
Right. Yeah, that's great to hear. I think that's a really good position to be in, because that allows you to really focus on, well, I think what you've been doing then in the past, and it's just the continuation of that journey now, contributing now through your company to combating climate change and really bringing about that solution that the industry so desperately needs. And as you said before, creating that industry standard.
Yeah, maybe it was also that I had to make the internal struggles already quite early on when I decided that I will pursue Carbonate as a startup. So I had to make that decision like 2 years ago before we spin out. So I had mentally prepared for everything that was ahead.
Gotcha.
Of course, the biggest thing that worries me is I have two small children at home and a mortgage. So going to a startup is not economically the most secure way to finance your home.
No, that's true. That's true. So, and at the same time, I guess it's sort of that, you know, it brings us back to the beginning, what you said about being average. I guess it comes also with a huge upside, in a sense. You know, starting a startup is a huge risk, but it comes with a lot of freedom, and it comes with the upside of creating something that's really valuable to, well, for you personally, but also to society. And I guess that's sort of the impact that you can also then deliver through your work, not just for you, but for the society and the planet in general. So I think that's the question that one has to ask themselves.
Yeah, and that was like the main, my main motivation when I decided to become an entrepreneur. That I saw that we have technology that will have a huge impact if we are successful. But on the other hand, there was all these uncertainties and insecurity that was related to our economical situation as a family. But then I started to think that when my children will ask me what I did to combat the climate change, because we all know what is ahead if we don't do anything. And they will ask, the future generation will ask us that, what you did? Why did you prevent this one? And what would I tell them? One option is that, okay, we developed this fantastic technology, but I was too scared to be an entrepreneur, so I ditched the whole project. Or I can tell them that, okay, I tried my best, and I tried to do everything that was in my power to fight the climate change. So that is like the core motivation for me and this company. So I feel that I'm not just running a company. I just try to create something that will have like long lasting effect.
Yeah, that makes a difference. That's a really strong driver and a really strong motivation. Really interesting to hear. I would love to go back once more to your plans. So before, we talked about your commercial plans, so to scale, well, this spring in Finland and then in Scandinavia and afterwards in Germany. So if you could dream, and you know, everything goes according to plan for maybe the first time, you know, whoever knows, but say you could, the future develops exactly as you want to, how will Carbonate look in 3 to 5 years from now? Will it already be the industry standard, or is that a bit further down the road?
I think in 5 years, if everything goes as I dream, is that we will be an industry standard in the new factories that are starting up. So there is good industry that makes the precast plants. So if we are successful, we can start to collaborate with them and And that way, our system will be provide for the every new factory that there is to build. And we also hope that we can widen our scope. So these products that are fresh, that we are currently doing, is only the first step. So we will expand our technology to hollow core slabs and all the wet casted elements there is. So I hope that in 5 years, we can offer them this technology to whole precast industry and be an industry standard in fresh products. That is like, if everything goes as I dream.
Well, then let's hope that dream comes true and that there are no bigger obstacles along the way. One question, though, that I'd be interested in asking you as well is, what's your view sort of on the, you said before that the green wave has also now met the concrete industry. Has that changed over the last year or two, in a sense that the focus has more been on operational efficiency and protecting profit margins rather than sustainability again? Or is that because the concrete industry is under such pressure and is potentially looking more at the long-term developments, that especially when building new plants and so on, that those short-term considerations about profit margin, you know, inflation, high interest rates and so on, doesn't play as big of a role? How do you see that?
That is a good question. And it a lot of depends how our politicians will act in the next few years. Because we have seen that the technologies are coming, we can decrease the concrete carbon footprint a lot, but there has to be a market demand for it. And what is ultimately driving the market demand is how the concrete sector is regulated. So once there is a carbon budget for the buildings, then it's a no-brainer for the industry to invest in these, because they know that there is a market demand for it. But if it's all related how the customer will behave, then I don't think that the green transition will be quite slow. So I really hope that the politicians has the guts to do the necessary decisions in next years.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective there at play, because obviously there's also a wider debate. And this year we have European elections, and I guess that's also sort of a further question of how strong Europe's stance will be in order to achieve decarbonization targets and make that commitment. I would assume you're also very familiar sort of with the whole debate of other regions in the world, you know, with the US and the IRA really boosting climate tech and clean tech innovations, whereas Europe is a bit slow there at the moment. So I think that's an interesting perspective of, aren't we missing our window of opportunity to really scale companies and really make that push now for a green economy, because it's going to be cheaper to do it now than later down the road. And again, linking us back to the impact that you mentioned before, you know, our children will ask us, hey, you had that moment to do something, why didn't you?
Yeah, if you think about we had problems with ozone depletion in 80s, and we don't have that problem anymore, because the governments made the decision that those chemicals were banned that caused ozone layer depletion. So I hope that some same stuff will happen with the CO2 emissions. And I see only that is only feasible way to tackle the climate change.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good perspective. I would love to ask you a final question. I think you've answered it already in part, and it's linking back to the motivation that you had to spin out the company and sort of actually what makes you get up in the morning. So I think what you said before is, or what I would assume is, you left your very comfortable and safe position with the university and sort of the academic institution for a rather unsecure future, in a sense that you don't know what's coming, right? Becoming or leaving a secure environment to start a startup is not the easiest of decisions, especially with kids, a family, or a house that needs to be paid, and so on. But what is it then that, besides that bigger picture of wanting to make a difference and contributing to fighting the climate crisis, what is it that makes you get up in the morning and really make a difference?
Of course, it is the impact that we can make. And it's like also our company core value. So when we defined our company values with employees, the impact was the number one thing why everyone felt like it was worthwhile for working for Carbonate. And we also make all the decisions based on the impact. So if there is something that does not provide the impact that we want, we don't go into that route. Even it would be economically more feasible, but like that is not us as a company. But I also have to say that as I have been working for concrete industry for all my life, it's also the concrete that drives me forward. So I can work with the material that I like so much. I don't really feel like I'm working most of the time. My brother is also working for concrete industry. He teaches concrete technology at the university. So typically when we meet, we always talk about concrete.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's really interesting, right? Because that also brings us back to the beginning of our conversation, that very early, or right from the start of your upbringing and your professional career, you were surrounded by concrete. So I guess one could almost say that concrete has become a very big part of your life. And in that sense, it makes a whole lot of, or it's very straightforward to say, well, if concrete is such a big part of my life because I've been working with it for such a long time and have been surrounded by it for such a long time, well, then I can do everything I can to make it more sustainable. And if I found something that really works, makes a difference for them, I should go for it and scale that.
Yeah.
Well, Tapke, that was a really insightful and motivating chat. Thank you so much for making the time, and best of luck to scale Carbonate. I hope the industrial scale production goes well in the spring, and then I'm looking forward to seeing you grow your business throughout Finland, Scandinavia, and then Germany, and obviously setting the industry standard hopefully very soon.
Yeah, thank you. We'll try our best.
Yeah, best of luck with that. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.